You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
You know, there's dashing and dancing and prancing and vixen,
Comet and Cupid and Donna and Blitzen.
Oh, but do you recall
the most famous reindeer of all?
Oh, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer had a very shiny nose.
All right, everybody, we're starting it all funky tonight, the political cesspool. Y'all ready to have a good time tonight?
Yes.
I said, are y'all ready to have a good time tonight?
Yes.
They said yes, Keith. Welcome to the show, everybody. The Political Cesspool. I'm James Edwards. He's Keith Alexander the Great. And it is December 12th. We're getting into the midst of the Christmas season right now, and we're sinking our teeth all the way into it. We put Christmas lights up today at the house, my wife and kids and I. And as good of a time as we had today with the family, we're going to have that good of a time tonight with our radio family here on TPC. Big show tonight. Second hour, Michael Cushman, author of Our Southern Nation. We're really excited about the book. Of course, it is our incentive for those who donate to our fourth and final quarter fundraising drive this month between now and December 31st. Get that book, and you're going to learn all about it tonight in the second hour. The third hour, Eddie the Bombardier Miller and I are going to talk about celebrating Christmas in an anti-Christian age. And so much more. First hour going to be mainly about Trump, but if you would allow us one segment of indulgence, folks, just here at the top of the show, I promise you we'll work hard the rest of the way. But we have been getting a lot of emails lately. My goodness, the people are so nice to us, Keith. Increasingly, I have seen a spike in emails in recent weeks from people saying, you know, we've been on the air for 11 years. People saying it's better than ever. One listener wrote in, I listened to last week's show twice. You're on fire, better than ever, said two other respondents. And, you know, I actually listened to last week's show in the kitchen, and it was like Brother Love's Traveling Salvation Show. You know Neil Diamond? We started off soft and slow like a small earthquake, but when we let go, half the valley shakes.
And, you know, let me give you a little sidebar on that. Guess where that record was produced?
In my church?
No. American Studios by Chip's Moman in Memphis. All of Neil Diamond's big hits, little known fact, were produced at studios in Memphis back in the 60s.
Well, I did not know that, and I don't know what we're going to do with that information, but, it, you know, you never can have too much
trivia. Well, we're proud Memphians as well as proud populist conservatives.
If
right?
Somebody goes on Jeopardy one day, that little tidbit could come in handy. But I do want to say this. Now, this isn't so much of a backpatting on us, ladies and gentlemen. Of course, you make it all possible. And as I did just mention, folks, by now you should have received a letter in the mail from me. You know how important our quarterly fundraising drives are. We need you to respond to this one tonight, preferably, but certainly before the end of the month. And a lot of people already have. You know, we only do this during the 4 months of the year that we have to fundraise to keep the show on the air. But I always enjoy these segments where we give a little roll call of some of the cities from which our listeners have sent in financial support. Here's just a quick rundown. This isn't all of them by any stretch, but just in the last week and a half, this is where we've been getting some mail from. And by the way, folks, not just contributions, but your Christmas cards, we love them. So many Christmas cards, so much love in our audience, Keith, but here we go.
It is Brother Love's Traveling Salvation Show.
Except we don't travel all that much, but our message certainly does. And here's some of the people who have been donating from Monero Valley, California, Irvine, California, Louisville, Kentucky, Salt Lake City, Utah. Thank you, Jeff, for your kind note. Silver Springs, Maryland, Augusta, Georgia, Folsom, Pennsylvania, Chino, California. Guy at Chino sends in $20 every week. I mean, he's amazing. North Wales, Pennsylvania, Ocala, Florida, Riviera Beach, Florida, Cordova, Tennessee, Nashville, Tennessee, Murfreesboro, Tennessee, Metairie, Louisiana, Newport, Washington, Chicago, Illinois. Our biggest contribution so far this quarter from Jonesboro, Arkansas. This guy is a saint, buddy. We love you. Ryson, Arkansas. Brian, you know who you are. And, of course, not just from across the South and from sea to shining sea here in the United States, but in London, England, we've received some support from a couple of listeners, even in Alberta, Canada. Keith up in Canada, he's one in a million.
That's right.
And you're one of the
million. I cloned
too.
Myself. I'm up in Canada, man.
I want to read one. We've gotten so many notes in the mail that accompany these contributions. And the contributions are so important, folks, because we're a listener-supported show. We tell entirely too much truth to attract commercial sponsors, so we rely 100% on listener support. Without you, it's over. It'll be over in January without you. But listen to this from Kelly in Nashville. We're so encouraged by your program on Saturday evenings as well as your news articles. Glad to know there are still those like you out there sharing the truth, because there's so few that we meet in our lives that proclaim this truth now. And, you know, this is from Kelly, beautiful young lady with a beautiful young family. I tell you, Keith, every female listener that I've ever met in person that listens to this show, they've been attractive. I guess they're all tuning in to listen to you, stud.
Well, I doubt that. But what I do say is not only are the women high caliber, so are the men. I mean,
that's the truth. Here.
We absolutely attract the best of the best. These are the real Americans, real American patriots, people that are, you know, basically just like the founding fathers of our nation, fearless, brilliant people.
I want to read all of these. There's not enough time, and I know there were some people who sent in. I'm sorry I didn't get to shout out all the cities. We'll do some more cities next week. Jeff writes in from Salt Lake City. Thank you for your amazing work. God bless you both. How about Buddy? I mentioned Buddy a second ago from Jonesboro. We can't do it without you. Well, Buddy, let me tell you the truth, brother. We can't do it without you. Brian in Arkansas, he always sends in a long letter. These people, Keith, are not just the salt of the earth. They're not just God's people. These are the people. You want to talk about making America great, and we're going to talk about Donald Trump a lot this hour and what's going on with him and his most recent standing in the polls and a lot more surrounding the Trump campaign. You want to make America great again, it's going to take the people who made it great to begin with, and those are our people. And we really have – I got a letter today from a gentleman in Arkansas, Stephen in Arkansas. He says, your show – has turned into a movement. And people like Matt the Copperhead have certainly played a big role in that. Matt, we only have seconds remaining, but we want to work you in before we get down to business tonight.
Okay, James and Keith, how you doing, my brothers? It's Matt the Copperhead. Have to check in with you guys and report the findings. Have not met too successfully with the Jewish leadership of this country on getting these people, these refugees, to Israel. So, me being a reasonable person and wanting to compromise, I suggested other places, if they have to come to the United States, and the ban doesn't work and everyone's on Trump and we understand, here's five places that I have recommended to the leadership, the Jewish leadership of this country. Number five, Temple Israel of Fort Lauderdale. Because let's be honest, nothing can tame these savage beasts like a game of Mahjong and a coffee clash. Number four, Babylon Jewish
Great Neck, Long Island.
Center of Great Neck, Long Island. Yes.
Have y'all coordinated this? Hey, hold on, Copperhead. We'll let you finish the list. We got to get to work after this next segment, but we're not going to leave you hanging. Stay tuned, brother.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
If you want to experience the great outdoors in comfort and style, then you need products from Teton Sports. For any of your camping, hiking, or outdoor needs, Teton Sports has top-of-the-line products for any adventure. Our sturdy and lightweight Wilderness 55 backpack has a built-in rain fly and plenty of compartments and pockets, perfect for hiking the mountains or a weekend camping trip. And our zero-degree sleeping bag features Superloft Elite 4-channel hollow fiber insulation for warmth, as well as right and left side zippers to let you zip two Teton bags together. With an adjustable mummy hood and interior storage pockets, our sleeping bags are the best on the market. Teton Sports is all you need for any outdoor adventure. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman Warehouse, or Wholesale Sports. And next time you're preparing for an adventure, think of Teton Sports.
Has your dancing and romancing done gone away? Are you moaning and a-groaning from the stresses of the day? Are you reeling and appealing because a headache's on the way? Well, relax for just a moment. Stress relief is on the way. Of what am I speaking, you ask? The essential oils of long historic use, the wisdom of the ages, the health care of the ancients, frankincense, myrrh, hyssop, and hundreds of others too numerous to mention. What could be more appealing? Do you know that Young Living essential oils is an element of life that makes them extremely effective in body rejuvenation? This element is called vibration, and it works with body systems, not against them. The professionals at Divine Living Oils have tested and been so impressed with this product that we are using them to help others. And who are we? We are health professionals with many years' experience. Trust us, we have seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. Our motto? Because we care about you. Do your health and spirit a great favor. Call us at 304-542-4226. That's 304-542-4226. Again, that's 304-542-4226.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we have gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy.
Comfort and joy.
It's Christmas in Memphis, and we have the Jewish from Elvis God right there. Neil Donovan. Hey, listen, it's great music. Great music, and it even, you know, not only is it Christmas outside, it's Christmas in the radio station tonight. We've got a candle here lit. Keith, why don't you grab that real quick? Don't burn yourself. Tell us what the scent is. We want it to smell like Christmas, but it says it on the side. What do they give us? He's trying to read it.
I'll tell you what, I can't read anything.
Evergreen spruce. So we got a studio that smells like evergreen spruce tonight. Our truth is evergreen, and so you're getting that too. And Matt the Copperhead. You know, we were talking about the necessity for people to contribute to the program. $10, $25, $100, you're going to get this book, Our Southern Nation. Well, Matt the Copperhead is a guy that never misses an opportunity to contribute or call in, and he's giving us, you know, we're talking about Donald Trump.
Breakdown of top 10 places, just like on Jimmy Fallon or something, top 5 places to resettle Syrian refugees in the United States.
Since they want them so bad, you know, if we had Israel's domestic policy.
And, you know, the rabbis of America have banded together and have shown solidarity with this movement and said that we've got to do this. We've just got to bring these people in.
They don't say that in Israel,
since they
though.
Want them, and of course, the last place they want them is Israel. In fact, Benjamin Netanyahu has denounced Trump for not taking them. Of course, the silence is deafening when it comes to whether or not he, as the leader of the of Israel, would take any.
Much
he's not
easier
about to take any.
For Syrian refugees to get to Israel than the United States. But
yeah, right.
The
all they have to
open.
Do is walk across the border. Of course, they have to climb a humongous fence. A wall that dwarfs the Great Wall of China.
Yeah, dodge landmines and machine gun turrets. But and, of course, Israel's an apartheid state, but not, you know, they don't want it here. All right, finish the top five, Copperhead, and then we got to talk about Trump.
Okay, like the Cantor's son, the jazz singer himself says, they're coming to America. And we left off at number 3, the Shabbat Jewish Center of Borough Park. I'm sure the Rebbe will greet them in open arms.
Where is Borough Park for the uninitiated?
In Brooklyn, the heart of Brooklyn, baby.
They're coming. Why is all this stuff in New York? I tell you. And then, how about the Upper West Side? Is that one of the places?
Just don't bring them into Arkansas or down south.
Well, that's great. Yeah, you're right about that.
Put them in the ghettos. Okay. Let's see. We got Yeshiva of the Bronx. Not just exclusive learning for any chosen Semite, but for all Semites. Okay. And number one, and my top favorite, because it's a big building, lots of space, the D.C. National Holocaust Museum. Now, I know in those years it's been open, they haven't had 6 million visitors. So this is a great way to get some real numbers for them.
And I tell you, I don't know if they've had 6 million, but they've had one. I've actually been there.
Oh, so have I.
It was very, very instructive.
Well, yeah, look, you've left out two top ones as far as I'm concerned. One would be Greenwich Village. The other would be the Upper West Side.
Oh,
Manhattan.
Common. Believe me. And, as you know yourself, Keith, the Borscht Belt has dried up years ago, but there's a lot of old camps that they used to go to that can be repopulated for the dirty.
Yeah, all those old communist summer camps like Camp Willowa.
Well, all right, listen, I mean, the bottom line is this. Thanks for the call, Copperhead. Those are great ideas. I think the people, all kidding aside, I think the people who are advocating for the Syrian refugees to come to America should lead by example and should take them in first. And I mean, there should be Tent City on the White House lawn. There should be all of these elected officials, these whores, these sellouts, their homes should be open to them. And I certainly want Glenn Beck, who says he's going to smuggle them in illegally if he has to. I want him to put a few in his bedroom for good measure. All right, so, this is the reason we're talking about this, obviously, is because Donald Trump made huge waves. Or how does he say huge, Keith?
Huge
waves. By saying he is going to put a moratorium on Muslim immigration. He really should have taken it a step further and just said all immigration, but especially Muslim immigration.
Coulter went wild. She said he made her Christmas, and if he said he was going to block off all third world immigration altogether, he would have made her year.
Yeah, exactly. And it's, I don't understand what the furor is. Well, I guess I do. I mean, the media is so insanely anti-white and anti-Trump that they're just incensed, and they've really just, the media is just absolutely unhinged. And every time Trump does something like this, he has, he has 43% of the vote right now. If the poll in Georgia, the most recent GOP primary poll in Georgia, has Trump at 43%, there's 20 people running. Imagine.
And you know what? The more he offends political correctness, the higher his numbers go.
Well, that's exactly right. We're talking about Michael Cushman being on the show tonight. One of his fellow travelers, one of ours too, Hunter Wallace at Occidental Descent, has had a really good running analysis on the Trump candidacy from the beginning of the summer through now. We'll talk more about that in passing here in a moment. But it's obviously very legal. The media is acting as though this is some horrible, they like the Constitution when it's something that a conservative does that they don't.
When the Constitution doesn't back them up, they say it offends the spirit of America,
that is crazy. First of all, these people who are not American citizens have no rights that an American citizen would. And this whole thing that the founding fathers, when they put together the Constitution, that they had Muslim refugees in mind.
On their mind, yeah.
They only had white male property owners on their minds.
Well,
that's the only people who had rights.
The Constitution, until the passage of the 14th Amendment, only restricted federal governmental action. It did not in any way restrict the ability or the sovereignty of the states or any locality. So consequently, the Constitution and even the Heritage, even that conservative organization, the Heritage Foundation, has written an article saying that nothing that Trump is proposing is unconstitutional. Well, in fact, there is a long history in American jurisprudence of presidents being able to limit any class or group of people from immigrating or visiting the United States.
It's not unprecedented at all. Carter did it. Eisenhower did it. It's been done time and time again. Sure. And again, these people don't have the rights that an American citizen would. And again, getting back to the original intent of the founding fathers, I mean, look at who could vote back then. White male property owners, period. So this whole thing, life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, we're all created equal under the law and in the eyes of the Constitution. I think if they had known how sackless white men would become, they would have put a little stronger language in there, but the Constitution was a reasonable attempt to make the best government available at that time. There's no way they could have foreseen an America that would have come so totally off the rails. You have, you know, the liberals lecturing Trump on the Constitution. This is the same people who completely violate rule of law and Constitution and state sovereignty.
Consider the U.S. Constitution a living document, quote unquote. In other words, it changes according to their,
Well, it doesn't exist at all. They legislate
cycle of moods.
If they can change it, then Trump can change it as well by that standard of measurement. But look at what they do with the Supreme Court just legislating from the bench. The Constitution means nothing to these people. But, of course, whoever said they were rational.
The Constitution is absolutely an impediment to them. If they're candid with you, they'll tell you that the Constitution is something they'd like to do away with. Even that great conservative George W. Bush said, the U.S. Constitution was just a piece of paper.
Well, and with another little adjective that's not fit for a family show. What's been the reaction to all this? Well, you already got, I guess, a sneak peek. 43% of the vote in the great southern state.
43 with a bullet, rising with every day, passing day.
State of Georgia. He's up 20 points in the national polls, 36% in the latest CNN poll. The most closest behind him, I think, is Cruz at 16%. Everybody else is south of that.
As Ann Coulter said, sometimes you need a man, and this is the man of the hour.
I'll tell you this. If Trump wins the nomination and wins the general election, it will prove that the whole Republican leadership has been wrong for 30 years. Instead of trying to woo the minority vote, they should have been working to give white people a reason to vote for them, and Trump is doing just that. We'll be back with more analysis on Donald Trump right after this.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Listen, do you hear that sound? It started low, but it's getting progressively louder. Into a crescendo, even louder. Irresistible, ending in an ear-splitting blast of mass disruption. That's the sound of America's economic and political systems crashing to the ground. But we have a plan. We will be ready to restore political sanity. We will be ready to answer the call of productive America. We will restore America's industrial base and put America back to work. We will shut down political correctness and restore decency and positive media to America. We will save our Constitution, our traditional way of life, our customs, and religion. We will restore sound money and crush the debt-based system of monetary slavery. And we will end America's foreign misadventures. We are the American Freedom Party, and we have a plan. Learn more about us, theamericanfreedomparty.us.
Listen carefully to this poem by Rudyard Kipling. It was not part of their blood. It came to them very late, with long arrears to make good, when the Saxon began to hate. They were not easily moved. They were icy, willing to wait, till every count should be proved, ere the Saxon began to hate. Their voices were even and low, their eyes were level and straight. There was neither sign nor show, when the Saxon began to hate. It was not preached to the crowd, it was not taught by the state. No man spoke it aloud, when the Saxon began to hate. It was not suddenly bred, it will not swiftly abate. Though the chill years ahead, the time shall count from the date that the Saxon began to hate. We must hate everything that is wrong and work to make America great again. Stand with Donald Trump and make America great again. Reach us at thedailytrump.org or call 212-391-1586. Paid for by the American National Trump Super PAC.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the Political Cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQOnline.com and click on Subscribe Now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQOnline.com. Subscribe now.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Have a holly jolly Christmas. It's the best time of the year. I don't know if there'll be snow, but have a cup of cheer. Have a holly jolly Christmas, and when you walk down the street, say hello to friends you know.
All right. And everyone how much fun you do you have on live talk radio? We're going to try to figure it out tonight, and we're going to do it. Hey, just in that last commercial break, I want to give a shout out to Dawn in Fort Thomas, Kentucky? Let me double check. Fort Thomas, Kentucky. $25 from Dawn. Dawn, go away. We're no good for you.
Yeah.
But hey, listen, that's what keeps the show on. Those are the contributions that keep this show on the air. And without the support, you know, to some of the other talkers, I don't know, maybe $25 wouldn't be a lot. But for us, It makes all the difference. So thank you, Don. God bless you. Pat Buchanan on Donald Trump. I'm going to read just an excerpt from his most recent column. This really hits the nail and drives it straight, as you like to say, Keith. This is what Pat writes. Millions now regard the media as ideologues who are masquerading as journalists and use press privileges and power to pursue agendas. Enter the Donald. His popularity is traceable to the fact that he rejects the moral authority of the media, breaks their commandments, and mocks their condemnations. His contempt for the norms of political correctness is daily on display. And that large slice of America that detests a media whose public approval now rivals that of Congress relishes his defiance. The last thing these folks want is for Trump to apologize to the media. And the media have played right into his hands. When they demand he apologize, Trump doubles down. And when they demand that Republicans repudiate him, the GOP base replies, quote, "Who are you to tell us whom we may nominate? You're not our friends. You're not going to support us. And the names you call Trump, bigot, racist, xenophobe, sexist, are the same names you call us. Nothing but curse words that a corrupt establishment uses on those it most detests." Keith, the people are rising up. And when we get to the top of the mountain, and I don't know if it'll be through the candidacy or perhaps even the presidency of Donald Trump or if it will come later, but we have been here when it was still a long, hard climb. And when we get there, when we reach the summit, people, you will be able to say that we supported people like Keith Alexander and Eddie Miller and the political cesspool when it wasn't popular to voice these beliefs that we've always held in our hearts. And now that we have broken through that, here we are. Let us roar.
Well, you know, to appropriate the language of Martin Luther King, we're headed to the mountaintop as a people. Hopefully, we'll get there with you. If we don't, we're there in spirit because we want to reach that mountaintop, and we're going to do it. We started when we were down in the valley at the lowest part, and we're making the steady climb. The air is getting thinner, but let me tell you, I loved it when Donald Trump was berated by none other than that great macho man, Lindsey Graham.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, Lindsey Graham said that he was, said he was a fool or ridiculous or whatnot, and said you should tell Donald Trump to go to hell. And Donald Trump's reaction was, bring it on. He said, I'm not afraid of a lisping sycophant like Lindsey Graham.
Hey, Lindsey Graham can fix the country if he can just bust zero in the polls. He'll get there. He has the right ideas.
If there was ever a girly man, you know, that phrase coined by Arnold Schwarzenegger, if there was ever a girly man in American politics, Lindsey Graham is that man.
This is what Brad Griffin of Occidental Descent. Listen, if you're not going to OccidentalDescent.com every day and making that one of your daily reads, you certainly should. I do. I want you to do it as well. And Brad, Hunter Wallace is a great supporter of ours, and it's certainly reciprocated on this end. In fact, he's promoting tonight's live show, which is going to feature Michael Cushman, author of Our Southern Nation, coming up at the top of the next hour. He's going to be with us for the full hour. We're going to tell you all about this book. It's something different. It's something I don't think you've read before, and it talks about Southern heritage and the culture of the South that predates the Confederacy. So often you think
in a way that you're not used to hearing about.
Right.
In fact, it's information that, quite frankly, has been around for a long time, but the liberals in charge of the educational establishment in the United States and in Western Europe have totally suppressed this information, but he cites chapter and verse of historical documents to prove his thesis.
Well, we're going to break it down for an hour, and it's going to be an hour that you really can't afford to miss. Again, it is the incentive for our fundraising drive. $100 or more gets the book to you, and we have them right here in the studio, right over there in that box, Keith.
I can't. I want to break
Keith's
into it.
Keith's drooling
right
over that box, I tell you. But
the way, you know, we can't normally read these letters and have checks enclosed because James drools all over
them. Yeah, that's right. Oh, man. I think $25, you know. I faint. But that's almost serious. I mean, that to us, again, is a difference maker. Anyway, Brad Griffin, a.k.a. Hunter Wallace, if you prefer, proprietor, editor of Occidental Descent, he's really diagnosed what's going on with the state of the presidential race. With less than 2 months to go until Iowa, America's about to tune out politics to celebrate Christmas and New Year's. So Trump, with Cruz beginning to apparently gain some ground, needed another controversy to fend him off while pushing down Ben Carson. Hunter writes, after Paris and San Bernardino, the Muslim issue was a perfect way to do that. So the media is genuinely incensed by Trump's mild authoritarianism and the fact that their views, the media's views on all of these issues from immigration, trade, political correctness, and other social issues are way out of step with mainstream America.
Mainstream Americans despise the viewpoint of the left. The left's viewpoints, they keep saying, looky, looky, like a little tattletale. Snitching on somebody in your elementary school class. Trump has transgressed political correctness again, and the applause is absolutely drowning out everything they have to say, and they are totally baffled. They thought, apparently they live in some type of bubble, like the Bubble Boy or something, and they think that people actually have incorporated political correctness, and that's what they believe in their heart.
Well, you know, they
can't be any wronger.
They've got to be panicked because our people are the red state working class middle Americans, and
most of the people, most of the average people in blue state America feel the same way.
Well, they do. No, they do.
You know, Trump puts all of these blue states like New York, New Jersey, places like in play in this election if he gets the Republican nomination.
You heard me rattle off a list of some of the people who have sent in support. Hey, it was from California to New York, north, south, east, and west. Our people are everywhere. Now, there's some states where they obviously predominate, but nevertheless, we're their voice, and these issues resonate, and the media has to be completely panicked after all of these decades of incessant brainwashing. It didn't change the hearts and minds of the people. The people who leave these comments on YouTube and in the comment section of any given news article on the internet, that's mainstream America. They were not able to get them to change their thinking. I know that has to completely frustrate them and make them feel as impotent as they truly are. And as Brad
Emperor has no clothes.
I'm interchanging Brad and Hunter. It's pen name is really, I think everybody knows Hunter Wallace is also Brad Griffin. I should probably stick to one name or the other to avoid confusion, but he's so great. Yeah, man, that great needs two names. But the Republican establishment, the cucks, and the rival campaigns are desperate to stop Trump's momentum, and they're running out of time to do that, Keith. I don't know what's going to happen, but it's his to lose now.
Well, there apparently has been uncovered a plot by the Republican National Committee to somehow withdraw their support of his candidacy if he wins. If he does that, I think he'll win as a third-party candidate if they try to press him into that box.
Even Ben Carson was saying he's not feeling the love right now.
Yeah, I think that Ben Carson is kind of maneuvering, positioning himself to be the vice president under Trump as Trump's president.
He'd probably like to receive the offer. I don't know if that will be extended.
No, but that's what I think he's positioning himself with, because out of the entire field, he is stepping to the fore in defending Trump and defending the people that support Trump.
That being said, and we mentioned his standing in the polls, highest in Georgia where he's at 43%. I mean, can you imagine? And everywhere else, he seems to be up about 20 in the national polls, up comfortably 15 points plus in Iowa, even more than that in New Hampshire, which is really, you know, it's sad but true. The GOP primary comes down to Iowa and New Hampshire, which is certainly not bad.
Well, see, that's ridiculous because those are blue states. Those two states will never cast a vote. No one in those states will ever cast a vote that will help elect a Republican president because they are as blue as the Bonnie
well,
blue
I think
flag.
Iowa might go red.
Well, quite still, frankly, you're seeing now the Republicans drawing up near the Democrats simply because of Trump. And furthermore, Trump, he's a native-born New Yorker. He's right from the streets of New York. He's one of them. And wouldn't that be remarkable if New York became a red state in this election voting for Trump?
One more segment on Trump. Scoop Stanton is going to call in and give us a little Trump report.
He's going to give us a behind enemy lines report on Trump from D.C. and the Northeastern Court.
Second hour, Michael Cushman promoting his book, Our Southern Nation, Its Origin and Future. Finally, third hour, Eddie and I are going to celebrate Christmas in an anti-Christian age. We'll tell you how you can do it, too. Stay tuned.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T, that's Kurt, C-U-R-T at LibertyRoundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211 or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Ooh.
have a blue Christmas without you. I'll be so blue thinking about you. Decorations of red.
We were too high energy. We had to bring in a ballad to temper the program. You know, give it
who was that? It sounded like Elvis after a sex change operation.
I listened to Elvis's version of Blue Christmas. I settled for a white Christmas.
Well, Blue Christmas is fine. I like Elvis. That sounds like, is that Connie Francis or Peggy Lee?
Oh, ask and you shall receive. That's how good they are. Brenda Lee.
Okay.
There he is.
I'll be so blue.
There's a real king. Not the Jewish king.
It's hard to have a white Christmas any way you shake it in Memphis, even with the snow. It's like, what, 75 degrees outside tonight?
69.
It was 75 during the day. Anyway, we got to get down to business. We're, again, too much fun with these festive holiday shows. Scoop, take it away, brother. What do you got to say?
All right. Good evening, everybody. First and foremost, I like to put a disclaimer. At the half hour mark, we heard a commercial from the Trump political ad super PAC. Folks, I almost crashed my car because in no way are we influenced by our sponsors. We love our sponsors, yes. But I remember back in June of this year, I was having lunch with my father on vacation at Slicker's Restaurants in Old Forge, New York, off Route 28, and talking about how I was supporting Trump and was hoping it wasn't a joke candidate. So, I mean, when we talk about Trump, it's the real deal. But anyways, back to Trump. At a campaign rally Monday night, Donald Trump called for, quote, a total complete shutdown of Muslims entering the U.S. until representatives can figure out what the hell is going on, unquote. The crowd on the USS Yorktown cheered. The next day, the media was all over Trump. He got into it, Joe Scarborough and his nitwit psychic, Mika Brzezinski. CNN, Fox, ABC, and the rest could not stop talking about Trump. Muslim athletes and cultural icons Muhammad Ali and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar spoke out against Trump. Karen held a press conference condemning Trump. And then Trump's fellow opponents on the campaign trail wasted no time going after the Donald. 3%er Jeb called Donald unhinged. Krispy Kreme Christie said Trump was ridiculous. Hillary tweeted that Trump was reprehensible. And then Joe candidate, which I call the Lieutenant Jim Dangle from Reno 911 candidate, Lindsey Graham, said that Trump was declaring war on the Muslim faith. I called Graham, the Lieutenant Jim Dangle, on Twitter, and the gentleman, the actor that played Mr. Dangle, Thomas Lennon, favorited my tweet. But the question lies, can a president deny entry or throw out immigrants? Well, Chapter 8, Section 1182 of the U.S. Code says so. It deals with inadmissible aliens. And there's a laundry list of reasons why we deny entry of these people. They include if you're a criminal, if you have disease, if you're a terrorist, if you go against the enemy of the state, so on and so forth. It's a very, very long chapter in the U.S. Code, but check it out. Chapter 8, Section 1182. Now, did Donald's poll numbers drop when he said what he said? Nope. He's almost at 50% in Georgia and at 35% or better throughout the rest of the nation. Now, was Mr. Trump resting on his laurels talking about the enemies of civilized society? Of course not. Not to be done by himself. Later this week, or earlier this week, in a somber, sobering moment, Trump promised a very strong executive order that seeks the death penalty for any cop killer. Trump now has said more about the killing of police officers than President Obama has said anything, other than talk about officer in D.C. doing the nay-nay, and, quote, what a tough job police officers had, unquote.
He's also said more than anybody else, than the entire rest of the Republican field of candidates. Go ahead, Scott.
Exactly. And not to be done by himself, President Obama had another live press conference, or speech, rather. He was talking about climate change or global warming. The whole country, the whole world's on fire. We got Muslims in this country doing shooting us in the streets. We got cops getting executed in the streets, and he's worried about climate change. Now, if he took as much passion and time working on the war against radical Islam, ISIS would have been out of commission within minutes. James Keith, back to you.
Scoop, you covered a lot of ground there. Two things that stuck out to me. You know, I just considered, you know, those poll numbers, almost 50% in Georgia, 35% nationally, big leads, strong double-digit leads in New Hampshire and Iowa. Those would be pretty incredible if it were a three- or four-man race. But when you factor in, there's still, I think, a dozen candidates. And the people under Trump that have the highest numbers besides him are Carson, an outsider, and Cruz, who is basically Trump-lite. So when Carson inevitably falters, you would expect a pretty significant portion of his vote to go to Trump. And if Trump really wants to just finish this thing right now, he needs to start back-channeling with Cruz to take that VP spot. That would be, I'm not saying I would like Cruz necessarily to be the VP, but that would be a sure path. I think it would
Well, look, it's a sure path unless the Republican Party pulls some type of dirty trick.
Well, they're going to do that.
But basically, the whole race has come down to Snow White, Donald Trump, and the seven, well, recount them, 13 dwarfs, which are the rest of the Republican field. Cruz and Carson, I don't know where Rubio is getting his push, but nonetheless, you know, these guys, they're not into the clubhouse turn yet, and Donald Trump is just about to break the finish line. It's just, I've never seen one of these nomination battles like this in which somebody has built up, one candidate has built up this big of a lead this quickly, and in this crowded field, it's almost unprecedented. The Democrats have nobody. They have Hillary Clinton, probably the most unpalatable candidate they've run, and that's saying something, you know, even worse than somebody like Michael Dukakis. And Bernie Sanders, who doesn't even want to call himself a Democrat. He's a socialist. And, you know, can you believe this?
You talk about all this stuff. Bernie Sanders isn't even a Democrat. He's a registered independent. Am I wrong about that?
No, you're right.
All right, so what if he decided to go third party and pulled off, you know, 2 or 3, 4, 5% of Hillary's vote? Anyway, but another thing.
At least he's honest. Basically, the Democratic Party is the Socialist Party of America. So that's what we really ought to start calling them.
Another big debate coming up this week in Nevada, by the way. There ought to be some fireworks in that one. The knives are really going to come out for Trump. We'll see what happens. But you also mentioned Scoop. I have to use these names in quotations because, of course, they're not their real names. Muhammad Ali, who was formerly known as Cassius Clay, and then Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who was formerly known as Lew Alcindor. Now, these weren't Muslims to begin with. They were just run-of-the-mill black people.
No, they basically became Muslims to show their contempt for Christianity, which, in their minds, is a white man's religion.
That's right. So these aren't even Muslims traditionally.
And furthermore, Muhammad Ali is a punch-drunk fool. Who cares what he says? You know, he can't even make a coherent sentence now.
Well, it's not because he got pounded too much, but he wasn't that much of a great mind
his best day. He was no
Well, he was just an anti-white. Now, you want to talk about rabid hatred? Muhammad Ali put it on display in the 60s and 70s like you wouldn't believe. So to get denounced by Muhammad Ali and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is, again, you know, listen, the people, you want to talk about how much hatred the establishment has for Trump? The people who actually make this country go have 10 times more resentment for the media. So anytime people like Muhammad Ali or other establishment candidates or the media pile on Trump, it's like pouring water on a bunch of gremlins. It just gets his base that much more fired up. Scoop, to you.
Well, with that being said, like he said, the GOP is ready to do some dirty tricks. If you remember 2008 and 2012, they did everything, I mean everything, to sabotage the candidacy of Dr. Ron Paul. They wouldn't even seat some of the delegates that go to the convention. So even though Trump has a commanding lead and he's most likely the candidate, those who are registered Republicans, you know, the few of us that are left, you must go out and vote.
But I tell you, Scoop, that's true. But the big difference between Trump and Paul was that Paul never had these kind of numbers. He couldn't command this media attention. And Trump has more money than the entire GOP.
Well, let's face it, Ron Paul is the perfect example of a lisping sycophant, too. Okay, he wasn't a lisping sycophant, but he was a girly man, kind of. He came across like your meek uncle, you know, that uncle that's not married and everybody suspects that he's gay.
Well, I mean, obviously that wasn't the case with
that
Paul.
That wasn't the case
compared to Trump.
You know, compared to Trump, Trump is a man's man, and that's really the secret to his allure. You've got Hispanics, you've got black people, you've got all sorts of people that are not normally Republican voters who are on board with
He's
Trump.
Obviously got Jewish people, too. And in defense of Ron Paul, he was obviously very good on the Constitution and a lot of other issues. I voted for Paul twice.
But he was a panty waste on racial issues, and his son is even worse.
Well, no, there's no doubt about that. But Paul, you know, was more – he was more of an – I mean, obviously
he
didn't have the bravado of Donald Trump. But, okay, so – and Trump could litigate the GOP – to the seventh level of hell and not even miss a dollar. So, Scoop, final word. I think if the GOP tries this, he can fight this in any court he wants.
I think he could win as a third-party candidate. I really do. I think America's ready for it.
Well, nevertheless, Scoop, we'll find out. Iowa's coming up. Big debate this week in Las Vegas. Iowa just a few weeks away now, coming up, and then New Hampshire right after that. We got to take a break. We're back with Michael Cushman right after this. Thank you, Scoop.
Another hour of the political cesspool is in the can, but don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.